Good afternoon, everybody. We would like to welcome you to the March 27th, 2024 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of this commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas of having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. The commission is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or non-profit organizations. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are used by the board to determine the compatibility of proposed changes and new development visible from the public right of way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the Savannah local historic and conservation districts. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance, items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangement of structures are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for decisions. Please turn off all cell phones. So, second point. Signposting. Members of the board received an electronic agenda the week before the meeting, and individuals visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it will be removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were any projects not properly posted this month? Hearing none, we move forward. So the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or a board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? No projects are removed. I need to ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
May Bowley, motion to approve the consent agenda.
Pam Miller, second.
Excellent. May?
May Bowley, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kevin Libana, approved.
Motion passes. I'll move on to the adoption of the agenda. Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
Ms. Pam Miller, I make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Kirsten Connor, I second.
May.
May Bowley, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kathy Ledvina, approve.
Okay. Approval of minutes of the previous meeting. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to today's agenda. Are there any additions or corrections at this time to the minutes of the previous meeting? Hearing none, can I have a motion for approval of the...
I move to approve the February 28th, 2024 HPC meeting minutes as presented.
Pam Miller, a second.
Kathy?
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
May Bowley, approve.
Are there any... Items that need to be removed from the final agenda today? No, excellent. Okay, continued agenda. These applications are being requested to be continued to a following meeting. Is there a motion to continue the items on the continued agenda?
May Bowley, motion to continue the items on the continued agenda.
Kirsten Connor, second.
Kathy?
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
May Bowley, approve.
Okay. Are there any requests for extension? Anybody in the room need to request it back down? Excellent. Okay, then we'll move on to the regular agenda. Applications that are submitted monthly appear on the regular agenda in the following order by district: Victorian, Kyler Brownville, Streetcar, and Conservation Districts. Let's begin the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendation. The board will then ask the petitioner to limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comment. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested or granted by the chairperson. We will structure board discussion by calling on each board member for two rounds of two-minute comment. Board members are not required to comment. If you are joining us virtually for the first time, locate your control panel. Public that wishes to submit comment, use the raise your hand feature. I will be notified and I will call on you by name. You will submit your name for the record and then make comment. Please keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. Okay, so first item, petition of Andrew Donovan, 24001098 COA, 24 West Duffy Street, porch rehabilitation alterations.
So the applicant is requesting approval to restore a one-story parcel with porch at this home. As y'all may remember, this project came from the board back in January to construct a full-width porch and to replace what's existing. The commission denied the request, finding that it didn't meet the Secretary of Interior Standards 2 and 5, did not meet the standards for porches, stoops, balconies, and decks. The applicant has since come back with a request to rehabilitate the current front porch. So the work will include removal and replacement of non-historic materials such as the handrails, banisters, roof supports, and CMU between the masonry. The materials that are going back meet the standards, and the porch will have the same footprint as what is existing. Overall, the proposed work meets the standards. It is worth noting that the applicant does intend to retain the existing corbels that are on the front porch and to put them back. They also intend to reconstruct the existing trim work. The applicant also intends to retain as much of the existing masonry piers as feasibly be possible. They do acknowledge, though, that repair work may be necessary. The applicant did provide a masonry sample that showed what they intend to use if the masonry needs to be replaced. Those meet the standards. The applicant also proposed possibly painting the piers as well. Again, normally that is not recommended or approved, but in this case, the piers are currently painted, so staff finds that could be appropriate in this case. Staff does request that if extensive repair work is necessary, or if the entire majority of the masonry on the piers need to be replaced, that staff be made aware prior to work taking place, so we can get the proper documentation and review the work prior to taking place. So with that, staff recommends approval of the request to restore the one-story partial width porch or stoop at the property located at 214 West Duffy with the following condition. Because the work is otherwise visually compatible meets standards, and the condition is that the applicant provide the extent of work needed to repair or replace the brick piers if it is determined the majority of bricks need to be replaced or extensive repairs were necessary. Does the board have any questions?
Are there any questions for staff? Hearing none.
Kathy Levine, quick question. Those, as depicted in the drawings, they look like they are rectangular posts and rectangular, they call them pickets, but they're not. The specifications show a turned post and a turned picket. What's correct?
I was going off what the spec was, but you can ask the applicant that to confirm what he intends on doing.
Any other questions? Is the petitioner available to speak?
Yes, he is.
Could you come forward and state your name for the record?
Hello, I am Andrew Donovan. Here to speak on this.
Okay. Yep.
So overall, as presented, this is my attempt to kind of meet some of the recommendations from the board from the last time that I presented. Right now, the current porch is falling down, really a safety hazard. But the idea is to try to retain as much of the historic features as possible. For the question, the railings, and the supports will be the turn styling as predicted, as shown in the actual sample sent into the board itself. But otherwise, like mentioned, I'm going to try to retain as much of those historic brick, but there's a fair amount of damage. Might have to do some repairs, but I'll be happy to include the board to any kind of repairs that will have to be done to those at the time.
Do we have any questions for the applicant?
Kathy Levina.
I sort of have a list.
Yeah.
So the pickets are 2-inch nominal and 1.5-inch actual.
I'd have to look at the exact measurements I sent in. I know they're listed as 2-inch pickets, but I'd have to look at the exact measurements based on the specifications I sent in. But
okay. And then what's your spacing between the pickets? I don't see a detail on here.
It should be standard spacing. I believe standard spacing, I'd have to refresh myself. Is
4 inches.
Is that 4 inches? Yeah, it will meet standard spacing. Yeah.
It will meet our requirements.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
So on the porch, and I know, you know, it's tough to draw, but typically your porch is a structure. So you have 2x6s or 2x8s that actually sit on top of your brick piers. And to hide the ends of those joists, right, you've got a skirt board. So you've got brick pier, you've got skirt board, and then you've got your decking. So there, and it's not all, you know, single plane. It's sort of stepped. And I don't see that here. If you look, your lattice work goes all the way up to your deck boards, and that's incorrect. Incorrect design. So I guess maybe would you be willing to redraw that with an actual structure with the skirt board and everything like that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I believe that was probably likely just an oversight once it was drawn. But no, it would absolutely be that skirt board with the 2x sitting on top of those brick piers.
Okay.
But yeah, we'd be happy to redraw and provide anyone.
And your lattice work will be set back 3 inches?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I just don't see it. That's why I'm asking for clarification.
Sure.
I'm not being horrible. Well, I am a little bit.
No, I want to know any concerns.
All right, thank you. And then I was also looking, because I do this and I'm weird, but you've got 5 steps and it's going to be really hard to jump up 40 inches in 5 steps. So two drawings have five steps and 1 drawing has 6 steps. You can do it in 6 steps, but I would just tighten up your drawings.
Sure.
And then my quick little suggestion is if you can't get the black paint off, you can always disassemble that brick and turn it around.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And you don't have to do it solid. Like you can put a block or something inside and just use that as a facade for both of your piers, especially if you don't have enough brick.
Sure.
And the only reason I say that is because then your brick should, because I can't tell because it's black painted, should match the skirting on the historic home, and it'll look really nice.
Yeah, yeah, and we want the brick to be natural, so that's a wonderful idea. We don't want the black, but.
And that's all I have to say.
Thank you so much.
Any other comments? May? Good. Everybody else? Excellent. Okay. Any questions for staff at this point? Any public comment? Anybody online that wants to make a public comment? No? Okay. So any other board discussion? Or do we want to call for a motion?
Okay, this is May Boley. Sounds like the applicant has worked really hard to meet our expectations, get this done in a truly historic fashion, so thank you.
All right, I guess I'll make a motion. Everybody feel confident? Good.
Okay, I am going to move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of, and I turn the page, so bear with me, approve the petition of Andrew Donovan, 24-001-098-COA 214 West Duffy Street with staff condition number one, because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Kirsten Connor, second.
Kathy Levine, I'd like to amend that.
Oh,
just to include what I included with the skirt board, the recessed lattice, the 4-inch balustrade.
Sure.
Because it's just not shown there, and they can go to staff, get a staff approval with a new drawing.
Let me add the conditions. Let me amend my motion to include staff condition number one.
Hang on a minute, because she's already motioned the second. Yeah. So now we have to. Yes. So we have to call for a vote on what she.
Can we vote no on the second?
And then you're going to resubmit it.
Okay.
Kathy can to make her own motion.
Okay.
And then it'll be clean.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead, Virginia.
Yes. You can do whatever you like.
Whatever.
Virginia.
Virginia Mobley. I approve.
Mabel, I approve.
Karina Hornung, approve.
So you're approving the motion as you put forward, not with any alterations. Is that correct?
No. I am voting to approve. Wait a minute. I am voting. I am voting deny. Negative. All right.
No,
okay.
Yes.
That's it.
Mabel, deny.
Katrina Hornung, deny.
Pam Miller, deny.
Kirsten Connor, deny.
Pat Richardson, deny.
Kathy Levine, deny.
Okay. Let's try that again.
So let's try and, Kathy, please make a motion with your recommendations that you wish to put forward.
Kathy Lidbina, I approve the request to restore the one-story partial width porch stoop at the property located at 214 West Duffy Street with the following conditions, because the work is otherwise visually compatible. Number one, as stated. Number two, with drawings submitted to staff prior to construction, which illustrate the 4-inch on-center balusters, the porch structure complete with a skirt board surrounding the structure, and the necessary recesses. How about that? The lattice work to set back 3 inches. The porch, I guess I would. Would you like to see the turned porch columns or no? No. Okay. And then a revised step plan.
Don't be specific with that step plan. The reason why you are asking for it to be changed?
Well, because you can't have 9-inch steps. It's against code. But no, because the drawings need to be clarified. Some of the steps are, he has a five steps and 6 steps. So we need to know, what that is, because it'll bring the steps out even further.
Yeah, that's fine. Just put what you want in there so we can have the motion as reflecting 6 steps. Is that what you want it
with
to look like?
Yeah, with the revised step detail. How about that? Because your treads will change and your riser heights will change.
Okay, so I have a motion, a second.
Mabel, a second.
Okay, Virginia.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Mabel, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Motion passes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next, Kyla Bramble, District. Petition of Gunn Meyerhoff Shea Architects, application 24001195 COA, 1826 Florence Street, rehab and alterations.
So the applicant is requesting approval to carry out general repair work in the structure, as well as to remove 2 chimneys, alter openings on the rear facade, replace existing windows, remove and rebuild non-historic ramps, and make alterations to the front porches of the property at 1826 Florence Street. So this quadplex was constructed in 1898 and based on Sanborn's, retained the same footprint from 1916 up until 1966. Each home prior to 2005 had, previously had one story partial width rear sections that were expanded sometime between 1996 and 2003 to cover the entire rear. It's unclear if the previous portions were just rebuilt or if they were expanded. Staff just does not know. In 2005, the building underwent extensive renovations that saw the replacement of the existing siding with cement fiberboard, the replacement of the windows, alterations to the front porches, repair work to the foundation, removal of the rear additions, the installation of ramps in the rear, and the alteration of the rear window openings. Overall, this project does meet the standards, both set of interior, visual, and district standards. Just a couple of quick things about this project. Some of them, some elements are kind of different from normal. So the alterations on the rear that are seen in these drawings are considered appropriate because the rear facade has been so greatly altered over time. The applicant is proposing to put back cement fiberboard in select areas of this building. This is rarely, if at all, approved on contributing buildings. Typically, we want wood siding. In this case, the building does have cement fiberboard currently, and the applicant is not proposing full replacement of the fiberboard, just selective repairs. So in this case, I find that to be okay. With regards to the ramps in the rear, the banisters are about 3 foot 6 inches. The guidelines say 36 inches, but that's only for 1 and 2 unit buildings. It's the quadplex. So the 36 inches, it does not apply. Staff does request information on what we painted. Never mind. I'm just answering my own question there. If it, well, elements are going to be painted, so that's good. Staff will also need to know if the balusters will be 4 inches on center, which is a common thing. And as previously mentioned during the staff at the pre-meeting, the applicant is requesting to remove the existing chimneys. Staff did some research into this property. We did not determine if those were original, if they're not original. Staff's unsure. So we are requesting that at least the exterior portions be retained just because there's some uncertainty about the historic nature. So with that, staff recommends approval of the general repair work on the structure, as well as the alterations to the openings in the rear facade and to the front porches, and the removal and rebuilding of non-historic ramps at the property located at 1526 Florence Street, with the following conditions, because the work otherwise is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards, and also recommends denial of the removal of the chimneys because the work does not meet Secretary of Interior Standards 1 and 5, unless evidence is provided that shows that it's not feasible to retain the exterior portions of these chimneys, the conditions being provide information on if the new wood elements will be painted or stained, and then provide additional information on the ramp handrails to confirm that the balusters are 4 inches on center. Commission, have any questions?
This is May Boley. I have one question. Can you give me an example of what kind of evidence they could provide that would show that it's not feasible to retain the exterior portions of the chimneys?
So the applicant had previously mentioned that's not structurally sound. So just, you know, maybe evidence from an engineer or something along those lines to prove that
right,
it feasibly can't be done.
Like the chimney stack is falling over and it can't be saved. Not we feel like taking it out and you can't suspend the part
yeah,
above this roof because that's yeah, hard.
We just need documentation. That's all we need. Yeah.
Great. I agree with that. Thank you.
No problem.
I have a question. You just showed some paint colors over there, and you may mention that. Is that with whatever you showed? And then there was a question as to whether or not on one of the conditions about whether it be painted or stained.
Yeah, I think that may be the paint colors. So.
No. Oh, those are maybe paint colors. Yeah, that's not an indicator that it,
yeah,
that it will
the
be
painted. Yeah, the applicant will verify.
Remove the first yeah, condition. Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Kirsten Connor, just because I might have missed it, when were the alterations to the rear facade made? And how do we know that the openings were not original?
So what had happened was sometime between 96 and 2003, they had these partial width rear portions that were expanded to cover the entire back. And then there was a COA from 2005 where those additions were completely removed, and the COA shows the window openings being completely altered in that, and at that time. So that's how we know.
Kathy Ledvina, so the COA from 2006, they did not have to comply to the Secretary of Interior standards.
Nope.
And because there wasn't a protective ordinance, correct? And so the Hardy Board was installed by the previous owner, Mercer Housing, versus City of Savannah, who owns it now?
Yeah, I did not check into the ownership. I just know it was done at that time.
Okay, but it wasn't the current owner. It was done in 2006.
Yeah, whenever this renovation was done, yes.
Okay. All right. And then I too, are the chimneys original? We all know homes had chimneys. When was it built? In
1898, yeah.
And not only was a chimney, you know, it obviously was connected to a fireplace, and that's the center of a house. The chimneys, we can assume, are original. And there are certainly, if you get a structural engineer, they can certainly come up with some sort of a bracketed flat bar system to maintain those exterior chimneys. So that's what I'm going to say about the chimneys. I agree, May. Thank you.
No problem. Any other questions? I believe the applicant should be here.
Each petitioner, please come forward and state your name for the record.
Good afternoon. I'm Patrick Shea with Gunmeyer Hoff Shea Architects, and I'm joined today by Latoya Waters, who did all the hard work of what you see. But I'm here to present the project and answer any questions that you might have. We appreciate the complexity of the question for your staffers. I will tell you, I'm about to commit heresy in public here, so get ready. That when we were first asked to look at this project, it was really so marginal. There was really so little left, and it hasn't changed since then. But one of the things that we were considering is whether or not to come here and ask for your permission to demolish. There are probably some existing original wood studs. We can see some of that where the siding has been exposed within the building. But the interior of the building is completely gutted out. It was made into an office building. It's not really possible in the current state for us to be able to investigate the existing fireplaces to see whether they're structurally sound or not. So what we decided to do was present to you what we felt like was something that retained the character, actually restored some of the character on Florence Street itself, because those front porches had also been altered and the stairs removed and so forth to give it back its expression of four little stoops. In the back, it needs to retain the handicap entrances because the end purpose that's proposed for this is for these to be small, affordable apartments for people who are recuperating from medical conditions, and be able to try and buffer them from perhaps being homeless. So that's why the handicap ramps are going to stay. I think those were added because it was an office building for most of the last 20 years until recently. But it has new purpose with the intended use that the city has in mind. I have no doubt, but what the chimneys that are there are existing. The irony is that on the exterior of the building, there's very little other fabric to point to and say that was existing. There's a little tiny bit of skirt board. There's a little tiny bit. There's a couple of brackets. I mean, it's really just down to the point where you could count the number of elements that are original fabric other than the chimneys. Probably on two hands, you know, and I'm not talking about elements. I'm not talking about classes of things. I'm talking about elements, very, very, very little. So, you know, we leave you with King Solomon's choice, I guess. You know, it's up to you if you want to try and command that the chimneys be preserved. I don't know what that'll do to the overall project. It's a lot to ask for very little benefit, but that's your prerogative. You get to ask for those kind of things. Other than that, answering the staff's questions, it's all painted, no stained. And of course the pickets would be just under 4 inches of daylight between the pickets, because that's what it takes to meet code. And I make myself available for any questions at this point.
Captain Levine, a quick question. On the east facade, the door farthest to the left, is that going to be 6-panel? Because right now it shows it's like a 9-panel, It looks glass. I don't know. Am I missing?
Yeah, they're solid. They're solid.
It's solid. It's not glass. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Does anybody have any other questions for the petitioner?
I have a question. The rear with the handicap ramp, do you happen to know the size of the doors, and are they wheelchair accessible?
Well, they will need to be. Can I tell you right now that what's there? I can tell you right now what's there. Some of them are and some of them aren't, but our intention would be to make sure that they have that minimum of 2'8" clear between the stops.
Okay. Is the level of the ramp or the porch in the back at the threshold, or is it below? I'm just curious, because these things are often overlooked.
Yeah, I mean, in order to be able to move forward from here, we would be going to get a building permit, and we would be providing all those details that show that we're intending on being generally compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act. So if you want to know the answer to that, yes, there will be no more than 3/4 inch of difference between the one side of the door and through the threshold to the other side of the door.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have anybody else have any further questions? Is there any members of the public then that would like to come forward and make a comment?
This is Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. RARC, has concerns over the potential loss of the chimneys if they are, in fact, one of the last retaining character-defining elements of the building. We believe that every effort should be made in order to retain them. And we're also concerned about the lack of photographs that were provided with this application. And that's all I have.
Is there anybody else from the public that would choose to make a comment? Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment?
As always, we appreciate the comments that we hear from Historic Savannah Foundation. The number of photographs, sorry if that wasn't adequate. We actually had a meeting on site to review this with staff and walk around the building. So, we may have been I don't know. I could have shown you 100 photographs, but I guess we didn't show as many as you'd like. But I have no other response.
Captain Levine, I've got one question. I'm sorry, for the petitioner. Is that allowed?
We're going to go into board discussion, so you could use that as part of your 2 minutes.
That's right. Are there newel posts at the end of these stairs?
Which stairs? The one that are...
The west facade on your porch heading up to your stoop. Is there a newel post on that?
There are not.
There are not newel posts. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Board discussion. Everybody gets two opportunities of 2 minutes apiece. I'm going to start at your end if you want, Virginia, and we'll work our way around.
Pardon?
We'll start with you if you'd like to make any comment.
No comment.
May Boley, I do want to just say it's very evident that there's been an effort to bring back some of the character that's been lost in this building. I super appreciate that. And I also agree with Historic Savannah Foundation that the chimneys being one of the few remaining potentially original elements, we should make all efforts to retain them as well.
No comment. Katrina Hornung.
Pam Miller, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, I actually had a question for the petitioner.
If you'd like to come back up, that'd be great.
I was having trouble loading the plans on my computer, so I wasn't able to check in time. But I didn't see any floor plans, so I was just wanting an explanation on why the chimneys are wanting to be removed. Is there a change to the floor plans? What's going on with that?
Fair enough. The existing building is filled with office space, so there bears no resemblance to any residences on the inside whatsoever. We weren't actually able to identify exactly it was that's supporting those chimneys when we were doing the walkthrough to be able to look at it. But we were furnished with that floor plan by the owner and said, this is the floor plan that we want. So the floor plan shows four units in the layout that they provided to us.
Can we show that on the screen if it's in there? I didn't see it. I just wanted to know why, an explanation of why the chimneys need to be removed. And if it's because of a wall coming out or something, just to consider why that chimney needs to, since it's one of a few remaining historic fabrics left.
So this is the floor plan essentially that we were provided, and it didn't bear any relationship to either the office space that was there before or the historic apartments that were presumed to have been there in 1898.
Is there an existing floor plan?
There is not.
Okay. Thank you for answering those questions.
Yes.
Just as a part of my board input, I think we would maybe suggest requiring more information on the reasoning for these chimneys being removed, whether it's a interior alteration that's, you know, a wall coming out or something like that, and whether or not that interior component of the chimney and fireplace is still there. I think that, I mean, that's my comment. Thank you.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Happy Levina, I do appreciate the reinstallation of a wooden porch stoops. I do think I believe to better define that character defining feature, there should be a starting newel post on the beginning, the bottom of the staircases, and then the handrail, of course, the traditional pattern, the handrail to run between the newel post and the post. And then the exterior chimneys are certainly a character defining feature that should be maintained. You can maintain just the exterior and not maintain the fireplace on the interior. Yes, it will take a structural engineer to do that. I assume that there will be a gutter and downspouts on the primary facade that isn't drawn, but that's all I see. Thank you.
Do you have a second round of comment?
Virginia Mobley, are there no plans for the inside that are final for the interior, or is this just a concept that we're looking at?
Well, we don't. We have no purview over the interior.
I know, but if you look at where the, on the plan, where the chimneys were,
mm-hmm.
they're in the middle of the sink. would have shown where the sink would be on one of these plans.
Okay.
And that's why I'm asking, is the interior arrangement final, or can it be accommodating for restoration of the entire chimney?
The petition, do you have a response to that question?
I don't know, to be quite honest with you. Again, I was furnished with this as, from the owner directly. That's a question that I would have to take back to the owner and ask them in order to give you an honest answer.
Okay.
Thank you. May?
May Boley, I do think that we have to be careful to stay away from discussion of the interior since it's not our purview. I might have a personal preference that the entire chimney stack be restored, but all we can require is that they retain the visible portion from the exterior. So whether the client revises their plans to maintain the interior chimneys or not, I do maintain that we should require the exterior expression. Thank you.
Katrina Hornung, no comment.
Pam Miller, no further comment.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with what May Boley said. And just in my defense, I wasn't trying to discuss the interior. I just wanted to know the applicant's
Your point was acknowledged. It was fine.
Thank you. You gave
good justification for why you asked the question. Tricia?
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Kathy Levina, I agree with exterior chimneys. And again, I would like to see the traditional porch design established with a new post.
Okay, so does anybody want to put forward a motion? If there's no further board discussion, everybody's had their opportunities to. One more question. Doing one, yeah.
All right.
I'm ready to entertain a motion.
This is May Boley. I'll take a stab at it. Okay, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Gunn Meyer Hofshay Architects 24-001195-COA at 1826 Florence Street with conditions that staff has recommended 1 and 2, along with a third condition that a terminating newel post be included at the bottom of the handrails on the front porch.
Kirsten Connor, I, as a further comment, I think this should be continued so we can see more evidence of why the chimney can't be. No.
If we're gonna require the chimney to be in.
Okay, never mind.
Chimney's part of the requirement.
Never mind. Yep. Thank you.
Their solution.
Sorry to interrupt you, May.
That's okay. So conditions as stated 1 through 3, because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance. Oh, and deny the removal of the chimneys because the work does not meet Secretary of Interior Standards 1 and 5 unless evidence is provided to show that it is not feasible to retain the exterior portions of the chimneys.
This is Pam Miller. I second the motion.
Okay. May? Virginia, sorry.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approved.
Kathy Levina, approve.
Thank you very much. Motion passes. All right, next on the agenda, the petition of Paul Bush. Petition 24-001244-COA, 1712 Ogeechee Road, new construction, small parts 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the board. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the petition. The applicant is requesting approval to construct an accessory structure at the rear of the property located at 1712 Ogeechee Road. The proposed 300-square-foot structure will function as a one-story single-car garage. The applicant also proposes to reestablish a driveway located where there is currently a curb cut on the Lavinia Street side. So in this case, just some existing photos of the property. And this would be the other side of the fence is the area where the proposed construction is, there is an existing curb cut here on Lavinia Street. And then a neighboring property right here, the next door. Site plan, this is kind of an unusual shaped lot. It's kind of, as you can see here, it goes back a little further. But the area in question would be right here. It's about 10 feet away from the existing house, which was a smaller structure that got built onto a couple of times, it appears. And then just to give you all some of the elevations. And just a little background, 1712 Ogeechee Road was built sometime between the publication of the 1916 Sanborn Fire Insurance map and the 1953 update to this map. And the period of significance for the local Kyler Brownville Historic District is 1867 to 1937, so it's possible the structure was built within this time frame. Although it is not confirmed at this time, the building is listed as a contributing resource within the National Register, Kyler Brownville Historic District, and the local district of the same name. The property is at the corner of Ogeechee Road and Lavinia Street. The 1953 Sanborn map shows that there was a one-story auto garage at the rear of the property that was larger than the two lot fronting structures on the property, which are noted both as stores. These two buildings were connected, but with different addresses of 1710 and 1712. And then by the 1955-1966 Sanborn map, it shows that 1712 remained a store, whereas 1710 expanded as a connected dwelling. That is no longer there. At present, there is this was commercial, but at present it's now residential. Overall, staff found that the proposed garage is visually compatible and meets the standards. There is no lane, and since there is no lane, it's not possible to have vehicular access from the rear, and the front of the property faces onto Ogeechee Road, where the only safe point of access is from the side on Lavinia Street. There, and because there's already an existing curb cut leading to the rear yard, this suggests there had been a driveway at some point. Staff found no issue with this as long as other necessary city departments are in agreement. Staff added a recommendation to consult with the traffic engineering department to ensure the driveway plan can be installed as presented. We can go back to the site plan just to show where it goes on the curb cut and just kind of curves around here to go where the proposed garage would be. And since the writing of this report, discussions with the applicant have been ongoing and contact with this department in the city has been initiated. There is also a standard that a ribbon strip driveway needs to be installed, so staff has included that as a condition. And the other thing noted was that for accessory structures, the standard says the floor area cannot exceed 40% of the floor area of the principal building. The proposed garage is 300 square feet. The existing building is 661.4 square feet. So 40% of that is approximately 264.5 square feet, which would be the maximum permitted. Staff recommends either resizing the structure to meet that or to apply for the variance. And again, since the writing of this report, it sounds like the petitioner is amenable to changing the size to fit in with that 40%. And with also, and the petitioner may also discuss more of this, but just hearing from the traffic engineering department, they kind of gave some of their criteria and just said as long as this their information is followed for the proposed driveway, they have no objections as long as they also get the HPC approval. And just kind of also give some information there too. But again, the applicant may have more information on that. But with all of that being said, the staff recommendation is to approve the request to construct a one-story garage at the rear of the property located at 1712 Ogeechee Road with the following conditions for staff review and approval prior to starting the work. Because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One, consult with the City of Savannah's Traffic Engineering Department to ensure the driveway plan can be installed as presented. Two, Ensure that the ribbon strip design is utilized for the driveway in order to meet the standard in three, to meet the 40% square footage maximum. Either redesign the size of the garage to 264.56 square feet or apply for a variance to allow for the 300 square feet design as presented. Thank you.
Do any of the members of the board have any questions for the staff?
Kathy Libana, I have a quick question. The original windows on the home, are they 1/1 or the 6/6? I mean, yeah, 6/6.
I mean, it looks like there's a mix of both, and since it's been altered
been original
over the years, I truly am not sure, and we don't even have a exact construction date to know, oh, it's to this time period, must be X, Y, or Z, and it was a store at first, so I wasn't able to find any photos showing an earlier era to get us a better sense of that. And I don't know if the petitioner may know. But.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Is the petitioner here? Could you come forward and identify yourself for the board?
Good afternoon.
How are you doing, sir?
Okay, it's fine, thank you. With Paul Bush.
Would you like to respond to the staff presentation and the recommendations?
Well, the recommendations that staff presented to me, we're going to reduce the size of the building, as well as I have already consulted with the city traffic engineer, and as well as far as the ribbon drive going to the drive will be installed accordingly.
So you agree to comply with all their recommendations as they stand?
Yes.
Okay. Do any of our board members have questions for the petitioner?
Kathy Levina, I don't have really a question. However, I do have a comment, and maybe we could work somehow with it on staff review. You have a very standard-sized garage door, and with today's cars, they'll fit, but they won't fit comfortably. If it were me, you might want to consider increasing the width of that garage to 9 feet and increasing the height to like 8 feet. Just saying. And if it might be something you want to consider, we could probably do that at staff after discussion.
However, then we're going back into footprints, Kathy, so then he would have to apply for a variance.
Well, he can still do the, it was still, it's 3.5 feet on each side. Okay, he's got plenty of room. Okay. Just saying.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I don't think we have any other questions for you. Is there anybody, a member of the public, that would like to step forward to make a comment? Is there anybody online? Okay, then we'll enter board discussion. Virginia?
Virginia Mobley, I have a question for staff. I know that they have to have a ribbon driveway. How far does that extend? Does it just go to their property line, or does it go the entire property?
Yes, it would just be the property line.
Okay.
Maybelline, no comment.
Katrina Hornung, no comment.
Pam Miller, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Kathy Levina, can you clarify that? The ribbon would extend from the property line all the way to the garage versus a pad.
But I think it's just what's on the private property line and not the city public sidewalk. / driveway.
The open space?
Well, this is where the curb cut is.
The curb cut's at 12, right?
Yeah, so it just kind of.
I don't understand where the ribbon is.
Used to be.
I mean, it's not shown on the driveway right now. That was original. This was the original plan. But, you know, that could be something when they come back, could just show what, you know, right in here, kind of where it where it splits. But
is there going to be a concrete pad? Or just ribbon?
In the property, inside the property itself will be a concrete pad, et cetera. But between the property line and the city right away, open way, we'll have two strips there. Two ribbons going into the property. The property then will be a complete concrete slab.
It's not shown. The location of the ribbon is not shown.
Right.
That's what I'm missing. Okay. So inside the property, it's one big concrete pad.
Yes.
Because typically concrete pads only allowed beyond the facade, your main facade, correct? So this is a strange application. That's why I'm asking for clarification.
Well, from my understanding, within a historical district, it requires a ribbon running through the property. Now, interior, the inside property, the slab can be just any size.
I don't think that's the standard, is it, Caitlin?
I think it just says the driveways have to be a ribbon strip. This is not, I don't know where this lands because of the fence line, it's not even visible from a public right of way. So I don't.
Also, wouldn't it be considered, you could also be considered as a patio or a, yeah. So it's like in your backyard, can you put a courtyard down with brick? Or does it, what point is, it's a slab could be a patio as well if you were doing that in your own private property.
Well, the reason I ask is because in Thomas Square, and I don't know that the ordinance is any different, they have been required to go all the way back. We've got side driveways that go down, and you've got to have
the ribbon. But are they visible from the public right away from the front facade? That's where the ordinance reads.
No, these go all the way to the back where the garage was.
Yes, Darren, yes.
But is it still visible all the way through? So that driveway runs, this is going behind a fence line. So you've got the ribbon going onto the property. And then once you get on the property, you're going behind a fence line. It's not visible as far as the access because he's going to have a gate there. If it was open, then he would probably have to have the ribbon where it was visible.
Are you having a gate?
Yes, we have double gates. And it's showing.
There's a fence.
Yeah, whereas if it's running, if you're going in as a driveway going down the side of a building, yes, you would run a ribbon strip all the way down the side of the building.
Right.
But because it's visible from the public right away. But once you enter in behind a fence line, it's no longer visible and
no man zone.
It could be a patio, it could be anything. It could have multiple uses as hardscaping, whatever.
Okay.
Comments? Any member from the public want to make a comment? No? Okay, then I'll entertain a motion. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Right, this is me. I'll take a stab at it. You're going to go for it, Pam? Please do.
All right, this is Pam Miller. I'm going to try. That I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Paul Bush, 24-001244-COA, 1712 Ogeechee Road, new construction, small parts 1 and 2, with the following conditions. Number one, consult the City of Savannah's Traffic Engineering Department to ensure that the driveway plan can be installed as presented. Two, ensure that the ribbon strip design is utilized for the driveway in order to meet the standard. And three, in order to meet the 40% square footage maximum, either redesign the size of the garage to 264.56 square feet or apply for a variance to allow for the 300 square feet design as presented. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Mabel, a second.
Kathy.
Kathy Lidvana, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Mabel, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you very much. Okay, next on our agenda, we have petition of BMP Doctor LLC. Yes. Petition number 23002366 COA, 306 West 40th Street, new construction, small part 2.
All right, let's get this open. Okay. The applicant is requesting approval of new construction small part 2 design details to construct an accessory dwelling unit at the rear of the property located at 306 West 40th Street. The project was first presented at the January 3rd, 2024 Historic Preservation Commission meeting. The original application was for new construction small parts 1 and 2, as well as a variance recommendation request. And I'll just put that previous submittal packet up. We'll just go get this for now. At the meeting, part 1 and the variance recommendation request were approved. However, the board decided that a part 2 design details would be necessary to provide a little more information about how it was going to look. The staff originally recommended approval with conditions, but because many of the conditions applied more to the design details, they were not put on the conditions of this part 1/variance approval. So quickly I'll go through what those were and how they've been met. So the first of those conditions was to select an appropriate window material such as PVC wood, clad wood, or metal, and include that information showing that the Munton profile met the standard 7/8 inch or less, and that framing members were covered with an appropriate trim. So in what was submitted, the applicant provided met this standard by providing a window schedule as well as product detail. They're metal windows. They'll be 1/1, so there will be no Muntins. The framing members will now be covered with an appropriate trim. 2 was select an appropriate door material such as glass, wood, clad wood, or steel. The condition has now been met with wood doors. So there is that, and then also on the door schedule that was provided. And then to provide a detail of the railing showing the height will be 36 inches or less and that the space between balusters will not exceed 4 inches on center. So in the updated drawings, this has also been shown here. The rail space 4 inches on center and then showing that 3 feet height. So aside from meeting the initial conditions, staff found the design standards have been met, and the revised elevations that were provided with the new submittal were greatly improved and provided a sense of what the proposed ADU will look like. So we'll take a look here, comparing, just as a refresher, to compare what was presented in part 1 elevations. And now for what the revised elevations. So we've got much more detail. And they also provided 3D renderings. All right, so with all of that, the staff recommends, oh, sorry, this is the old approval. Okay. Approve part 2 design details for the proposed construction of an accessory dwelling unit at the rear of the property located at 306 West 40th Street as requested, because the project is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you, and I'll be happy to take your questions.
Does anybody have any questions for staff? No, hearing none. Is the petitioner available? Is the petitioner online?
There is someone with name Kitty,
really? Yes.
Yeah, okay.
If the petitioner would like to make remarks, could you...
Hello, yes, this is Katie Willey. I'm the owner of the property. Thank you so much for letting us come back and present this. I think there's a lot more detail now. We're able to make all the changes that were requested. We feel a lot better with it ourselves and hope you all do too. But if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner?
Kathy Ledvina. Miss Willie or Wiley?
Willie.
Why are your first floor windows so low? They're about a foot off the ground.
Irrelevant.
I honestly don't have an answer for that, but if you feel like they should be higher, they can be. So the bottom floor is just a garage and a workshop. So we kind of wanted a way to like let air in and out if we needed to. But if we need to raise them, that's completely fine. We're not picky about that at all.
Well, I guess an option is you can raise them or you could go with 3x5 windows versus 3x6 windows. Second question. In your initial submission, the windows on the second floor on your north elevation were centered over your garage doors. In this submission, the windows hug the corners. Is there a reason for that?
Kathy, this is a design element. If it meets the standards, we don't have any purview over it.
If it meets the standard, it still needs to meet visual compatibility.
Well, but that's a matter of personal taste. Visual compatibility in this case.
Solids to voids.
Yeah, honestly, I just kind of left it up to the architect. I said, whatever you think will look best from the inside and the outside, we agree with.
Great, thank you.
Katrina Horn, I do have one question. Is there any type of exterior support on this stairway to the second floor? Or is it just kind of cantilevered off the side of the building?
See if. Yeah, thank you, Caitlin. I don't know how that is designed. It looks like it is kind of just off the edge. I don't have the architect with me or available today, but I'm happy to ask. Coming from someone that knows absolutely nothing about this, is it okay to be jutted out like that without support beams so that it doesn't shadow the downstairs entry door?
I guess that would just depend on what exactly the stairs are made of. Is it steel? Is it wood? You know,
wood.
I'm not entirely sure.
That would fall under, yeah, the building code. The building inspector would have to approve that.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
They're either going to come back and say you need to put in supports underneath it, or they're not.
Right. Is the cantilevered porch design style approved in these districts? Do we know?
I don't know if it necessarily says anything about the cantilevered part of it. So I think
that's just
maybe the ordinance is silent on that, at least for its perspective.
Right. Fair enough. Perhaps we could just ask for them to clarify with staff as a condition what the intended structural support for that second floor porch would be.
We're happy to do that.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner? There were none. Have we got any public comment?
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. Just to reiterate some of the comments that we've heard the board discuss. our ARC was questioning why no additional contextual information was provided in the application as to how this new building relates to the existing building or other adjacent buildings along the lane. And then also to reiterate some of the comments that you guys have already had, we also had concerns over the window proportions as it relates from the first to second floor, and then the lack of information provided regarding the structural report for the stairs. So that's all I have.
Is there any other public comment? Hearing none, we can go into board discussion. Feel free to bring your questions forward for staff and the petitioner. Kathy?
Can you start at the other end, please?
Okay. Virginia? Any comment?
Sorry, no comment.
This is May Boley. I'm looking at the primary structure, and they have a picture from the front. And so to support Kathy earlier, it does look like on the, and then HSS comment as well, it does look like on the primary structure, the windows are centered on the second floor above the openings that correspond on the first floor. So if the client has no objections, I think it'd be fine to request that the windows on the second floor of the accessory structure be centered over the first floor openings to reflect the style of the primary structure.
Katrina Hornung, no comment. Pam Miller, no comment.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Oh, you skipped me.
Okay. It happens. Kirsten Connor, I agree with what Maple Lee said. And thank you, Kathy, for also pointing that out.
Kathy Libana, no comment.
So how do we want to proceed here? Is there a question about whether we want from the plans brought back in front of us or having it for staff approval to answer some of these questions regarding structural and window placement to reflect the building?
If you guys don't object, I'd be fine to just have them come back for staff review with two conditions, clarify the porch support and, you know, relocate the windows. Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody cool with that?
Okay. Well, then I will entertain a motion then.
All right, I'm going to do it. this is May Boley. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of BMP Doctor LLC 23-002366-COA at 306 West 40th Street with the following conditions. Number one, that the applicant clarify the structural supports for the porch to staff. And number two, that they resubmit to staff a design with the windows of the second floor centered over the garage door openings from the first floor. Because the petition is otherwise compatible with the visual compatibility criteria and standards set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Kirsten Connor, second.
Kathy Libana, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Mabel Lee, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Motion passes. Moving on to the next. We have the petition of Residentials Concepts Design Group, 2400-1193-COA, 531 Siler Avenue. New construction, small parts 1 and 2.
Thank you. Probably guess by now I'm not the most technically savvy guy, so I appreciate you bearing with me. Sometimes our computers do weird stuff. Okay, well, let's see if we can back. Does it wanna? So thank you. The first of the two houses that are being proposed is located at 531 Siler Avenue. This is a single family two-story house, and it's currently a vacant lot. The applicant is here. So there are a lot of moving parts with both 531 and 533, so please bear with me as we go through each of them. It's, as I just noted, presently a vacant lot, just grass. There are no mature plantings on it. The surrounding context includes a number of contributing buildings on Siler Avenue, of both masonry and frame construction, a number of craftsman-style bungalows. Here are some photos of the existing condition. Again, it's just a vacant lot. In doing some research, you can see where I'm pointing right now. The sandbar maps indicate that this was originally, interestingly enough, even though this was a primarily residential block, there was a commercial use on this site. It was used by Arnstein's Cleaners and Dryers. And so what I'm going to go through is just the areas where they don't, if that works for you all, as opposed to going through everything, just what is brought up in the staff report. In terms of the zoning, the only issue that has come up, which we discussed earlier on Caitlin's case on Gwinnett, is in TN2, there's a minimum building frontage of 70%. The standard is not met. We believe, in rough estimation, the building proposed building frontage is approximately 45%. As such, the applicant should either adjust the design to meet the standard or apply for a variance recommendation request. All the other standards related to zoning are met. In terms of visual compatibility, staff feels that the standards are met. Both in terms of materiality, design, roof form, et cetera. In terms of the streetcar historic district design standards, the vast majority are met. I'm just going to, again, go through the ones. In terms of the foundation for the proposed new construction, it's partially met. The proposed height meets the standard. However, the front porch does not have express piers as is required. As such, we are recommending that the applicant should either add express piers, and I did speak with the applicant before the meeting, and I believe they are amenable to doing that, or they would need to request a special exception. This is another one without going up on a soapbox. I'll just read it to you because I think it is worthy of, you know, discussion. All residential facades visible from a street shall incorporate transparent features, windows and doors, over a minimum of 30% of the ground floor facade. These are freestanding houses. You can see the front and the two side elevations. In this case, the standard is partially met with both the front Siler Avenue and side east elevation. They meet the 30% standard. However, the side west elevation, I hope I got east and west right, does not meet the standard. I have talked about this again with the applicant. They would either need to add additional fenestration to meet that standard, or they would need to request a special exception. But this is something that, as I mentioned in the pre-meeting, we are taking a look at to see whether that really makes a lot of sense to have that specific percentage as opposed to just giving a little more latitude there. Then moving on, in terms of the front porch, I've spoken with the applicant. The standard does appear to be met. It has a two-story front covered porch entrance with entrance stoop. The size of the entrance stoop, the applicant can go into greater detail, does meet the standard, and he will describe that to you all in a moment. Just bear with me. In terms of exterior lighting, no exterior lighting is shown on the plans. I did talk with the applicant, as noted, before the meeting. He's unclear what is going to be proposed. So any exterior lighting, you all could either make a condition or they would have to come back and submit an application for exterior lighting if they wanted to do that separately, which they can do. And then all the other standards are met. So what I'm going to do now, if I can, There we go. Okay. So this works a little bit better. Here it goes. Thank you for your patience. All right, it's jumping around a little. All right. Here you have, sorry, we're moving at a glacial pace here. Here you have the, on the left-hand side, you have the front elevation and the side elevation. Again, the two-story front porch. As I understand it, the applicant can probably articulate better than I can, but they took their inspiration. They looked at a number of the other new construction buildings that have been put up in the adjacent vicinity. This is in keeping with it. You can see at the rear, there is a porch that is covered. Here's the site plan. I'm sorry, we're having a little trouble here with this. I don't know why this is. To go back to staff reports. So, in a nutshell, I know there are a lot of conditions, and as you all know, I'm still getting my feet wet here. I just will read you the recommendation, and then we can discuss this. Staff is recommending approval for the new construction, small part one and part two request for the property located at 531 Siler Avenue with the following conditions because the project is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. Condition number one is the proposed building furnished does not meet the standard of 70% and should either be adjusted to do so or the applicant should apply for a variance recommendation request. One of the other things that I did not note, I apologize, the proposed floor to floor heights do not meet the standard. It should either be adjusted to do so or by having the first floor have an expressed height of 11 feet. It's actually just under 9 feet. And the second floor should have an expressed height of 9 feet. It's just under 9 feet. It's about 8 feet. Eight and a bit, or the applicant should request a special exception. Condition number three, the proposed treatment of the foundation of the front porch does not meet the standard. It should either be adjusted to do so by having express piers, or the applicant should request a special exception. As noted, I have spoken with the applicant and they are amenable to doing the express piers. The proposed side west elevation does not meet the standard for transparent features of 30% and should either be adjusted to do so by adding additional fenestration, or the applicant should request a special exception. The proposed front entrance stoop looks to meet the standard of having a minimum depth of 4 feet, and the applicant should provide additional information on this, which the applicant will do in a moment. The applicant should provide information on the proposed location of any meter boxes to see that the standard is met. When I spoke with the applicant, he indicated that the meters would be located on the side elevation set behind the proposed fencing, so that would meet our standards. And as we discussed a few minutes ago, the applicant should provide information on any proposed exterior lighting as none is shown as being proposed. So we are recommending approval with all these conditions. I know there are a lot of conditions. I did, in discussing this with the applicant, state that you all may feel that there are so many conditions that this should just be continued and come back to you all. But obviously that's up to you all. And I apologize for the problems with this middle packet. It doesn't seem to want to actually move normally. So sorry for that little disjointed with our computers here, but. And the applicant is here, I know, to answer any questions you have about this project.
Do we have any questions with staff?
I just have a quick question.
Yeah.
So I know they're not trying to jump ahead, but they've got another one coming up right behind this.
Yeah.
The same condition, same everything?
Yes.
Mostly?
Yes.
Mostly, so,
yes.
So
I thought about maybe combining them, but we're going to do them separately. They are basically the same conditions.
Is there anything outstandingly different with the other one?
The only difference,
one difference.
And again.
Number eight on conditions.
If
the sidewalk, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So what is going on?
So we're going to entertain basically ask
to,
most of the
your
questions.
Point, I think to the point then, Jonathan, about the whether or not to continue this and have those things brought back clarified versus having two with all of that. Just that would be my question.
Yes. So to answer your question, and I apologize, I don't know why this is not working. But the only difference is that for the second house, which is on the right, I got it correctly. You can see here, this house has a concrete walkway that goes, connects directly to the public sidewalk, which is what was required by the ordinance. Mm-hmm. The house on the right hand, they have, you come off the porch, you go down the steps, and then it's not connected directly to the public sidewalk. It's actually you
connected to the driveway.
Connected on the driveway. So that does not meet. So that's the difference. Okay. But it's a great question, and I appreciate you asking it.
Okay. Kirsten Connor. I noticed that the porch pickets say 5 inches on center. Shouldn't they be 4?
Yes. Yes. There were a few things with the plans that, yes, sorry. I think we're just minor tweaks that need to be done, but thank you for noting that. Yes. We had picked up on that. Sorry.
Kathy Ledvina, again, back to the strips. It's my understanding that the strips are supposed to be used until a concrete pad can be used behind the main facade of the house. This does not show that.
Yep. I was thinking the same thing as we were having that discussion. So that would be another condition you call could add.
Okay, so we've got a bunch. Any other things that we...
Hey, Boley. So they have to apply for the variance for the frontage anyway. They have to come back in order to do that.
Correct.
So
yes.
We could just continue this, give them plenty of time to address not only the ones you have here, but also the ones that were just mentioned.
Yes.
Have them apply for that variance for the frontage. I mean, the only reason that we shouldn't do that is if this board is going to deny that variance, right?
So let's bring the petitioner up.
Petitioner is right here.
Could you identify yourself for the record, please, sir?
Christopher Dean with Residential Concepts Design Group.
Okay. So there's a lot of stuff we've just kind of bandied about. Are you open to us continuing this and addressing the majority of these things before when you come back with the variance application?
Certainly, but I think a lot of the things on here could be addressed quickly with just.
If you're in agreement with them, you can bring it back at the next meeting with the variance application, and they will be eliminated from the discussion because you'll have already agreed with them with the staff. So the recommendations on that will be removed.
Okay. Yeah. Just you know, certain things that were brought up, like making sure that the stoop is at least 4 feet, and on the plans it shows 6 feet.
Yeah.
You know, things like that that we've already made sure that we were compliant with.
Well, we can address all that at that next point when you come back with the variance, because you'll have already taken care of it.
So is there a good chance that when we come back with a variance for the next meeting next month, that once we do this, we'll get approval of everything,
right,
so that we can start
that's the general consensus of
digging in the ground.
Right. And the other thing I wanted to ask you, because this is a thing that's just come up on my agenda, because it is a former brownfield site. Have you spoken to the city about their brownfield program?
No, sure, we haven't.
So you may want to look at that as well in your planning process, because there are some soil mitigation funds available, because it was a former dry cleaning site. So you are going to have some contamination.
Certainly.
That
yes.
You may want to look at. And, okay. You know, this has literally just come up in the last few weeks as
okay.
a program that they, so I would go to their Savannah Brownfield grants and look at that and see if you're even, it's applicable for you all.
Okay.
You may get some money.
Certainly.
Kathy Ledvina, to continue this discussion, we're not giving, an approval
Mm-mm.
for their variances.
Not
we're just letting them go seek their variances without our approval.
Well, the variance has to come back. They have to apply for the variance and come back and present it to this board.
But typically we say we approve for them going forward with the variance.
They haven't applied for the variance. I do want to get into this in board discussion if we could, because I agree. I don't want to send him away saying, please come back and apply for this variance. And then we're going to get up here and be like, denied.
Yeah.
So I'd like to get into it in board discussion.
We're going to go into board discussion. If we need to ask you any further questions, we'll do that. If that's okay.
Please do.
Is there any public comment at this time?
No, you're fine.
Thank you. Ellie Isaacs, yet again, Historic Savannah Foundation. So our ARC would also like to advocate for this agenda item, and I'll go ahead and say for the next agenda item as well, to be continued, as there's too many conditions in order for it to be approved. We feel like you all should be able to see all those things again, as they have potentially significant ramifications on the actual design. I would also like to argue a statement that staff made about these designs being visually compatible with the area. We don't agree with that. If you look at the context of visually what's all along Siler, we don't feel that these are visually compatible. And that's all I have.
Off the dais. Do you need to move down here, Virginia? You need to move down so you're not on the edge of the dais. Okay.
I had a question for the public comment person. Don't we get to ask questions?
No, well, I mean, I guess you can if you wish, yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if the ARC had any thoughts on the frontage in specific. You commented on architectural style and conditions, but the 40% versus the 70%. I wanted to know if there was any.
We didn't touch on that specifically, but I think that is what they were, what the comments were related to as far as visual compatibility. To be quite frank, these designs, we've seen them all over the district. You guys have seen them all over the multiple districts that you guys cover. So the argument that they're visually compatible when the rest of the houses in the neighborhood are bungalows, single story, you know, front gable that have those frontages, that's why we don't feel that they're visually compatible.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Sure, board discussion. Go ahead, Virginia.
Virginia Mobley, I happen to agree that this design in that particular area of the neighborhood is not compatible with how that area was developed. And a little bit of history is that once you get to the eastern end between Habersham and Price, you start going into the lower employment range of housing. It was not the large two-story houses that are more to the west. And to put a two-story house in that area is just not really compatible with what's around it. And a case in point, I came down Park this morning between Price and East Broad, and there's a new house going in that area that we approved.
It's completely.
And it looks like, I mean, it sticks out like a sore thumb in the middle of the block because of its proportion to what is around it. And I'm sure you've seen.
No, I completely concur. I've walked past it a number of times in the last few weeks, and it is. It's scale is way out of context.
And I see that, I mean, and I have the feeling that these designs would be the same in this area.
Is it all right if I just chime in here for a second? So we did obviously think about visual compatibility. So these are the two vacant lots. I'm sorry again for all the technical problems. So directly right next door is a two-story house. Directly here is a two-story house that's under construction that was approved by the commission. If you go down the street, there's a two-story four square here, and then there is, if you could keep going down the street, there's another historic two-story building. So there is a variety of one and two-story buildings on this street, just to be clear, including directly adjacent to it. So when we were looking at the visual compatibility, we felt saying that building a two-story house next to a two-story house is incompatible would be a pretty hard position to defend.
So my question is this house that we're looking directly at, which is 539, footprint and scale? I mean, that's the biggest thing. So for instance, the item that Virginia just brought up, the scale of that particular property, even though it fits all the code requirements on Park Avenue, we approved it as a board. And I think that if we were to look at it, if we'd have had it, seen it in context visually at that point in time, if we all went and looked at it today, we would not accept the application because it is overwhelming and it isn't even finished at this point. So, you know, we have to be very careful how we look at these things because there are times where we look at a plan and yes, there is some context here with some two-story buildings, but are those two buildings that are going to go into this empty spot next to this single story here, are they going to overwhelm the building to the left and to the right? And that's our concern. And this is where we have to really do our due diligence.
And I agree with you that we look at the paper plan, but the reality of it, that 1 foot here and that 1-2 feet there makes an entire difference in the atmosphere of the area. But, you know, when were these two-story houses built? I would be willing to bet that the one that you are looking at right now, the staircase on the side was not part of the original house. And it was added too. I mean, we have houses in my block that in the 1920s, additions were put on the back of them. And unless you knew the history of the house, you in looking at it or any plans for the house wouldn't know it was there. And in reality, I mean, I guess going back, where does history begin?
Right. And no, I this is an excellent discussion and I appreciate it. I think if this were a block where every house were a one-story bungalow, then we would have approached this review very differently for these two houses. However, this block is a hodgepodge. There are 20 different architectural styles. They're two-story, they're one-story buildings. So this is not some pristine row of bungalows where someone is inserting these two-story into this row. I mean, literally, as you're looking at, there's a contributing historic building that's two stories right next to the lot. So again, from our perspective, it would be hard for us to argue that proposing a two-story building here is not compatible, given that there's also a two-story building directly across the street, and there's one on the corner that is just under construction right now that this commission approved.
It may be two-story houses may be in that area, but it is the proportion of that house that you are adding. Is it in the scale and proportion of what's there, or is it of a larger footprint than what is there? You know, I mean, I have a carriage house that was built for a horse and carriage. And it actually had double living quarters in it. It fits into the scale of the lot. Across the street from me, they have built one that is of similar size that has just taken all of the green space of this house, and it sticks out like you're cramming things in. And so I think we have to look at the size and proportion as well as what is on the street face.
Kathy Libana, at one point we were given.
Can we please go in our comment order? Other people have things to say.
Wait a minute. May is next.
Thank you. Sorry. This is going to be a long one, so I'd just like to make sure everybody gets their 2 minutes and our two cycles. Okay, May Boley. I definitely agree with you, Jonathan. We cannot tell them that they can't build a permitted two-story house right next to a two-story house. So while the neighborhood, the block is predominantly single-story, I think a two-story house is perfectly appropriate, especially also as you get towards the corner, which is also kind of normal. If you see your bigger houses towards the end of the street, that's very historic context. Now, everybody's discussing the proportions and the overwhelming nature of these buildings, and yet I want to point out that we're requiring him to make it taller, right? We're saying his floor-to-floor heights are already too short and that they need to be taller, which let's meet the standards whenever possible. And so I support that. I also want to just very much point out that if we were then to also require him to make these buildings 70% frontage on the street,
right,
they would be massive. So personally, and I'll have one final comment before I cede my time. I do agree that more effort could be made to include some architectural detail that references the style of the neighborhood. I agree too many of these buildings are being put in, they're infill, and there's very little minimal effort to match the historic character of the neighborhood. So a little bit more style would be lovely and certainly help the applicant get approval when he returns. But that said, I would be inclined to continue this application, and when it returns with increased architectural sensitivity and definitely not meeting that 40% standard, because we don't want these two-story buildings to overwhelm this neighborhood, I would be inclined to agree that we should grant that special exception for the frontage. Thank you.
Katrina Hornung, I also agree with Jonathan that we certainly can't tell them they can't have a second story, especially in this context. I would like to see maybe some type of massing model with the existing building at that corner there of, what is that, Celia and Broad, just to see what exactly that scale looks like, either with the dimensions that we are proposing with the 11-foot and the 9-foot, just to see how that affects the view of that block. Thank you.
Pam Miller. First of all, I want to appreciate the petitioner for being here today and going through all this with us, but I think because of all of the conditions that need to be met and all of the discussion we're having here today, that a continuance would be the probably the easiest way to do this for both you and for us, and to move it along and get your project going. So my comment.
So I have a question for the – this is Darren Bagley. I have a question for the petitioner, because I'm looking at the tax records of the adjacent property, the two-story building that we're referencing. Living areas – just shy of 1,700 square feet, which gives us an idea of the mass. And I'm wondering what the proposed square footage of these two buildings is.
Hello. I believe they're around 1,500 square feet each.
That's great.
Now,
that clears it up. That's exactly what I wanted to hear, because that, you know, gives us an idea of scale. You know, living area, if it's 1,500 square feet, it's not 2,500 square feet, then we're looking at something that has context and scale and isn't going to overwhelm regardless of design considerations and everything else. So that's my two cents. Thank you.
And I just wanted to pull up quickly. So this is the adjacent one that they're proposing. They're not going to be identical. And this one would just have a front porch. So the massing is, we hadn't seen this picture.
Kirsten Connor, my thought on, you know, this being something we see all around our historic districts, and they're not necessarily, in my opinion, visually compatible, though I do agree with Jonathan and my other colleagues about two-story being totally appropriate for this area. I actually live a block away, so I walk around and see all the variety of two-story and bungalows and all of that. I think looking at it more of an issue in my eyes is the proportions of the roof, and that really affects how you see it when you're walking by, as you can see in other new builds. And typically with the historic two-story houses around there, there's some kind of differentiation between the porches and the actual second-story roof structure, whether it's just like a separate roof that's slightly lower, or it's like the porch is inset a little bit, but it's under the same roof. And I think that really helps break up how overwhelming it can look from the front facade. So I think that might be something to think about.
Patricia Richardson, I agree that we actually do need to see you come back with the changes in place. It's just too many of them to assume that everything's going to be done.
I agree that we cannot, well, I agree that we should not. I don't know if I can even say that. Well, I agree that having a house right next to a two-story house is a bit difficult to say no to. So, that's my take on it.
Kathy Litvina, sorry for jump in line. What I was going to state is that at one point it was required to submit to the review board a plan of the adjoining houses and how they lined up and what the voids were between houses. I don't know why we're not getting that any longer, but we used to have the heights and we could see how the heights between buildings corresponded, and we have no context. We have nothing except those pictures that, you know, that we see on the Google Maps. So we definitely need a site plan, not just for this property, but the surrounding context. So I would recommend, if I was going to ask for all of this, a block, essentially.
Right. You want to see
the buildings on the block and how,
like,
this
a photo montage and
how this fits in.
How it would fit in. Yeah.
And I don't know why we don't have that.
Okay.
I agree. It's just too many items that need to be, thought about, to be able to even vote today. The continuance would be, the way I would go. And again, if you want to go, if they want to go ahead and get a variance, I think our recommendation is going to be vital for them to gain that variance. Thank you.
Virginia Mobley, no further comment.
May Boley, good. I think we're probably going to continue this. I did want to say, too, I walked up and down the street, and, like, there's so much off-street parking in the neighborhood, you know, so I do think it makes sense to allow for that. It fits in with all the comments that I've said. If we don't want these to be overwhelming and we're not going to deny a two-story building, we should be prepared to approve that special exception for the frontage. I agree that, again, to give you your best shot at only having to come back one time, and that's what we all want to see for you. This would be great if you could, I agree, some things that would set you up for success. Definitely what Kathy has recommended is a streetscape. Definitely maybe looking at some architectural influence in the style of the roof, in your porch detail, and particularly in your window trim. You know, all these buildings, these historic buildings, have a very clear piece of header trim over the exterior windows. Most new proposals don't bother to include that kind of a detail, and they make a huge difference when we're trying to approve something that's visually compatible with historic context. Thank you. That's all.
Katrina Hornung, no further comment.
Pam Miller, this is just, again, I agree that a continuance would be the most expedient way to do this for you, but I know if we make that motion, we have to have a date certain. Any idea of what that would look like? I mean, a month, 2 months? So
you, the petitioner, if you could
step
forward.
The petitioner, how quickly could be done?
As far as the staff recommendations, I'm going to address this as both of the proposals too, because your time is valuable. So if we're going to continue it, do you think you need 30 days or 60 days?
A week.
You need
a week,
which is great. So what we're going to say is we'll continue it. We're going to look at making a motion to continue it to the next meeting.
Okay.
That will give you the opportunity to work out almost all of the concerns with staff. So we come back here in a month and we have as little to address as possible. And then if there is any alterations at that point, they should be minimal. And then you'll be able to, again, make those tweaks based on our discussion in a month's time to get shovels in the ground.
Lovely.
All right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, fantastic. Anybody else have any further comment?
No, but thank you.
Is it my turn?
Yes,
it's okay. Kirsten Connor, I do want to reiterate my comment, and I hope some of the board agrees at least about some kind of breaking up of the front facade and the roof. Because I walk around those areas all the time, and with the new builds, I feel like that's the most obtrusive component of the new builds. There's no breaking up, whether it's an inset, a different roof.
It's obtrusive like by not being obtrusive. Because it's, yeah. You're right?
Yeah. I was struggling for the right word. Yeah. So I just wanted that to be considered. I don't know if there's a, we can really put that as a condition, but yeah, thank you.
Pat Richardson, I definitely would like to see a streetscape. It will make a difference in determining whether it's visually compatible all the way around.
Kathy Labina, I definitely agree with Kirsten. I believe by separating the roofs, you will bring the scale down and bring it more part of the neighborhood. And I agree with the ordinance of the heights of floors, the 11-foot and 9-foot. Thank you.
Yes, we're going to make it. Someone's going to make a motion to continue this. And I would like, if this is possible, could we do this with both of these, referring both of them? Is that permissible for us to do that? Or we can do the first one and then we'll immediately make a proposal with the second one without entering into a discussion. Okay. Yes, we're going to make a motion for this one that we reviewed to continue it until the next meeting. And then when we get to the next one, we're just going to make a motion with that. Any just staff presentation. Not if we're moving it forward. I don't think we need to, because we're just going to make a motion to put it on the continued agenda. Am I correct in that? Supposition?
The continue agenda.
To move the second item to the continued agenda, right? Staff, that's what I do.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
good.
Yep.
Okay. So let's have a motion on the first one, please.
Kathy Labina, I make a motion to continue to the next meeting. Do we need a date? I don't know what the date is. April 24th, 2024. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission continue the petition of
something in the left-hand corner.
What's his name?
24001.
Number 10. Residential Concepts Design Group. Petition number 24-001193-COA 531 Siler Avenue. New construction until April 24th. In order to address the concerns of the board and
apply
staff.
And apply for the variance.
No.
Yeah, the variance is part of us.
Without our approval.
No, they'll come back with that approval.
And to apply for the variance.
Pat Richardson, I second the motion.
Correct.
Okay, Virginia. We're voting.
Oh, we're voting. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Virginia Mobley, approve.
Mobley, approve.
I was reading. Pam Miller, approve.
Sorry, Pam. Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat?
Yes.
Oh.
No, so you're approving. Oh, declining.
Yay. Kathy Labina, approve.
Okay. Motion passes. Now we're going to go to the second submission, which is all number right. 11, Petition of Residential Concepts Design Group 24001194 COA 533 Siler Avenue, construction small parts 1 and 2. So as we've previously discussed, we're going to entertain a motion to continue this.
I'll do it.
To the next meeting.
This is Pam Miller. I make a motion to continue the petition of Residential Concepts Design Group 24001194 COA 533 Siler Avenue. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission continue the petition of them until April 24th, sorry, April 24th, 2024 to meet the conditions as set forth.
Kirsten Connor, second.
Kathy.
Kathy Labina, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
May Bowley, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You.
Item number 12, petition of Voices Handyman Services, 24000196, 9 West 43rd Street, addition.
So the applicant is requesting to enclose an existing deck and to reconstruct an existing ramp. As you remember, this came in front of the board last month and was continued due to the number of conditions that staff had on the application. So the applicant has provided all the necessary information to address the staff's concerns. And at this time, instead of going over the entire project again, I'm just going to go over what the staff's concerns were previously, as well as the applicant's responses. So the first concern was providing a percentage of transparent features for the proposed elevations. According to the applicant, there will be 35% transparency, which meets the standards. Second concern was to select a foundation material that meets the standards or to apply a PARS coat. The applicant has agreed to apply the PARS coat to the foundation of the addition itself. The applicant requested the applicant provide drawings reflecting the proposed railing design and details for the ramp and stairs. In this case, the applicant has clarified that the handrails on the ramp and on the stairs will match the existing handrail ramp on the current ramp. While this is not a typical design, staff finds that it is appropriate in this case, given the handrail is currently existing and given that it's seen in previous inspection photographs staff have, which suggests it was previously approved. The fourth was confirmed that the wood on the stairs and ramps where the painter's stained. The applicant is willing to stain them. Fifth is confirmed the pitch of the addition is at the time the pitch was too shallow. The applicant is willing to do a 312 pitch, which meets the standards. Staff does ask that these plans be revised to reflect that, just so we have it on record. And the final is to provide specifications for the doors, windows, and transoms. Staff is still requesting specs for these side elevations just because they're horizontal siding windows. You don't see those normally, so we just want to see them before we approve them. The applicant did state that the doors and the windows will be wood, which does meet the standards. So given that all staff's concerns were addressed, we are recommending approval of the addition at 9 West 43rd with the following conditions, because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. The first is to provide a revised set of drawings that reflect the pitch of the roof. The second is to provide specs for the windows and the sides. Does the board have any other questions? Good.
No questions. Is the petitioner available for comment? Would you like to step forward and identify yourself, please, sir?
Hi, my name is Shelley Boyce.
Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Good. So as far as the application, you've been given some outlines for staff recommendations. You're willing to work with those recommendations that I outlined?
Absolutely.
Do any of my fellow commissioners have any questions for the petitioner? Kathy
Levine, yes, on. I do have a question. Why did you choose the 2/2 windows versus the 1/1 windows that are existing on the first edition, expansion edition?
No particular reason. Like I said, there's 2/2 on part of the original building, and then 1/1 for the previous edition. If you want 1/1, we can do 1/1 if you want. What do you like?
I think 1/1 is more appropriate as an addition, on an addition. Yes. Okay.
No?
That's it. Thank you.
Any public comment then? Good, so thank you. Public comment?
You're hearing from me today a lot, I'm sorry. Ellie Isaacs, Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC felt that the new addition starkly contrasted the existing condition instead of complementing it. Items of concern included the roof line, being a shed roof versus flat, the ratio of solids to voids and the sizing of the windows being starkly different than the others that are on the building currently. That's all I have.
Is there anybody else from the public that wishes to make a comment? Okay. Hearing none, I will open it up for board discussion. Virginia, I see you've got your light on.
I have a question for the petitioner. Is this the rear wall, the south elevation, what does it butt up against, or what is it? Is it going to be seen from a street?
No, ma'am. There, I believe, is a 8-foot fence along with some roughage behind it. So there's trees and trees and shrubs behind the fence. There's already an 8-foot fence existing.
Okay. Well, the 8-foot fence is not going to cover the whole thing.
I agree. But you can't actually see it from.
Well, I mean, you've got two doors in this, addition, and what are they going to open out to?
So the first door that's located closest to the ramp, there's just a grass field next to their small parking lot they have. And then the other one is another little natural area they sometimes put seating out at.
They don't have egress to the public street?
No, ma'am. Well, on the front of the building for the main entrance, they do.
Yeah, but the side, the ones on this addition don't have egress.
No, ma'am.
Okay. So I'm assuming then that in looking at your pictures, there's no real vegetation or planting behind this building and the fence.
No, ma'am.
Are you going to put in a garden area or something?
That's up to the owners. Right now, it's just grass. I believe they use it from time to time just for seating for any events they may have.
Okay.
This is Darren Bagley. I have a question for you. So the public comment from Historic Savannah Foundation regarding the roof pitch. Considering that the elevation of the current addition is flat, mm-hmm. would that be something that they would be willing to entertain as a flat pitch, which at a slightly still subordinate to a degree, would that be something they would be entertaining? And also maybe a similar size of window element, maybe three windows in place of two to give that kind of context that
sure,
we can make that happen. Compatible.
Yeah, I don't think changing the windows from a 2-to-1 is an issue on both on the two sides.
And how about just turning that into a slightly subordinate but still flat pitch, as they were, you know, one of their concerns.
Yeah, so we can match the previous edition with the flat roof.
Yeah, and we give it some. Yeah,
we can do T2 with the covers. Yeah, that's no problem.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I think we're May with board discussion.
I have no comment. Thank you.
Katrina Horner, no comment.
Ben Miller, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, the windows, I mean, they, in my view, seem rather large,
right.
As HSF said.
He said he would reduce
them. Oh, you would reduce the size as well?
So you, on the,
I don't think you made that clear.
Well, on the sides where there's the doubles, you guys want to go to singles, correct? And then on the back, your issue is the three windows being as large as they are?
All of the windows.
Yeah.
So you want to shrink all of them?
Mm-hmm. Okay. To be more consistent with the rest of the original building's facade.
Okay.
Would you be amenable to that?
I think the owner's fine with that. He wanted larger windows, but he also wants to get the project underway. So I think he's okay making these small adjustments.
Right. And then you, like with the side windows, you could put in three rather than two and it still probably would match. And the same, and with the back, you could probably put in five rather than three.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Still have the,
Okay.
No problem with it.
Right.
Thank you. That was all my comments.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Kathy Levine, I agree with the window resizing. I think it would be, the addition would be visually compatible if it maintained the simplicity of the existing addition, including the windows being 1:1. And if you were to reduce the 3-to-5, then you would not have sliding windows, correct? You would have double hung.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you.
Virginia, any further comment?
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Mobley, no comment, other than I would support a motion with all these extra conditions and think it would be good.
Katrina Hornung, no further comment. Pam Miller, thank you for being so accommodating, but no
Absolutely.
Further comment.
Anything I can do to help.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Kathy Lugana, thank you.
All right, at this point, we can entertain a motion. We've got a few things that were kind of bandied about there after the fact with the recommendations from HSF as well as the staff recommendations as far as roofs and lines and windows, et cetera. So go ahead and take a stab at it, somebody.
All right, I'm happy to make a motion. It's been like a half an hour since I've done one. This is Mae Boley. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Boyce's Handyman Services 24-0000196-COA at 9 West 43rd Street with the following conditions. Number one, revise the roof design to be flat in the same style as the earlier addition on the building. Number two, revise the window design to be more in scale with the windows on the original condition. And number three, revise the style of the window to be 1/1. And then that's it, those three conditions. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria standards set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Virginia Mobley, second.
Kathy Libana, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Ann Miller, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Mobley, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Aaron, I just want to let you know I have a hard stop at 5. I just want to let you know I have a hard stop at 5. I think we're going to make it, but I just want to prepare you.
All right, that's good.
Thank you.
So the applicant, as I said, is requesting solar panels on the roof of 514 East 34th Street. So some minor background. The house in question is the center one. This was approved for construction back in 2020. It's obviously now completed. The applicant is requesting solar panels on both visible roof slopes. Per the standards, alternative energy source devices may be permitted on new construction additions and alterations to non-contributing resources, provided that they are integrated into the design of the building. Solar panels will be highly visible on both sides of the home. Staff finds this to be appropriate in this case, however, given that the solar panels will have a low profile, they're follow the slope of the existing roof, and they are well integrated into design of the building. So with that, staff recommends approval of the installation of solar panels on the roof of the home located at 514 East 34th Street as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Very short presentation, but, you know. Any questions?
No questions from the.
I would just note, so we had a lot of internal discussions because we're two of the three of us are pretty new. So the challenge with this house is Kelly just noted in her presentation, they're contributing houses on either side that are one story. This is two stories. So any solar panels are going to be visible, but we just wanted to make clear because I know there's been some confusion. I'm not saying you guys are confused. We've heard some people say that, you know, they have to not be visible. For new construction, they can be visible. They just have to be integrated. And so, as Kelly put it, these are integrated into the design, and that's why we are recommending approval. Just wanted to make that clear.
And to speak to this, this is also part of the city's initiative to be
correct
zero, yes. You know, as close to zero carbon by 2030. And I would argue that because solar panels really aren't permanent anyway, that they should be permitted pretty much on everything. But that's just my own personal opinion. That I'm,
right. And this is a non-contributing building.
It is a non-contributing building. So it, again, it's...
So it meets the standards.
Yeah. So is the petitioner available? If we have no questions for staff. If you'd like to come forward and state your name.
Clay Copeland. We are make a comment.
Sure, of course. Please, you know, any statement you'd like to make.
From one side of the street on the, I believe it was the eastern exposure, it is in that whole neighborhood. You do see the panels there. It is on the second floor, so I think that it would blend in with the roof, with the black on black panels. And also from on the opposite side, that street is... It's like if for tourism, it is very unlikely for them to be driving on that street, and also for you know, residents in the area, it's a low traffic street. Is kind of what I'm getting at. On the other side of that street's a railroad track, and then so it wouldn't be an eyesore for you know too many people.
Okay. Any questions for the petitioner, folks?
Kathy Libana, I've got a question. If you were to move the panels back on the, I don't know what you're calling, yes, right here. Okay, the 55-foot run of panels, if you were to move that front panel back to the back of the house, would that make any difference? I mean, there's no trees.
This would be the
and
side
it would,
of the
therefore it would lessen the visibility coming up onto the street. Yes, I think it would integrate it a little bit better if it wasn't so forward on the front facade.
So right here, this array.
Do you take that first panel of the array and move it to the back of the array?
First couple of panels, yeah.
Yeah, we could probably bump a couple down, panels, yeah. Actually. Yeah, we could. That's not a problem. There's no trees casting shade on that side of the roof. It's wide open, morning, sun exposure. So either way, yeah, I can most definitely make that accommodation.
Right. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Kirsten Connor, this is just a comment. I do not see solar panels as an eyesore. Thank you.
Anybody else like to make a statement, comment, question? Public comment? Dr. Savannah, have you got something? No? All right. Anybody online who would like to make a comment? No? All right. Board discussion, if any?
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Mabel, no comment.
Katrina Hornung, no comment.
Pam Biller, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, I have a comment to the chair of the subcommittee. Can we maybe look at adjusting the ordinance for the solar panels for historic structures or contributing structures? I think it's a very important thing to have integrated into the city, of course. So I'm not a fan of all the restrictions with it.
We will put it on the agenda.
Thank you. Could I
comment on that as well, to your point there?
Is that okay, Darren?
Sure, go ahead.
And so in 2024, in this year, Savannah was one of 25 cities in the nation that is considered as like leading for renewable energy and green initiatives. Mayor Van Johnson wants to be 100% clean energy by 2035. It's all.
And that's what we want to do. We want to look at the ordinance and change it so historic buildings can have it. That's what we're asking to do. So we appreciate it.
It has made it difficult on some accounts. And so it would be much appreciated. Thanks.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Kathy Labana, I made my comment.
All right. So if nobody has any further comment, I'd like to entertain a motion. Justin.
did we want to include possibly moving back the
if
panels?
You want, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I don't have it in front of me to see the entire.
Can you scroll down the computer so we can look at the
sorry
COA number and address, please? Oh, it's right there at the top. They are.
Oh, my bad. Kirsten Connor, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of COA number 2400881 of what is the 514 East 34th Street with the following staff condition. Oh wait, there aren't. Sorry. I apologize. It's been a long time since I did this. With the following condition of the board that the solar panels on the roof, as discussed, can be moved back as far as possible, because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Mabley, second.
Virginia.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Mabley, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you, sir. God bless you. All right, next on the agenda, we have the petition of Lynch Architects, 24001200 COA 1508 Montgomery Street. It's an amendment.
All right. Thank you. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the project. The applicant is requesting an amendment to the previously approved new construction small parts 1 and 2 project for a three-story mixed-use building on an empty lot at 1508 Montgomery Street. So just to show previous submittal packet and the current. So the amendment includes a three-story brick portion has widened slightly to incorporate the previous add-on at the third floor that was clad in siding. So this area here. To this. A more regular window pattern has been employed and the asymmetry of the side elevations has been modified for a more balanced design. The interior floor plans have been modified to allow for more windows at the side and rear elevations. Third, the storefront type at the north side clad in siding has been modified to employ a different profile to enhance the appearance of two separate buildings. Fourth, the pedestrian gate was removed from the entrance to the parking area at the rear. And five, the fence design was modified to match the building's materiality. The fence piers will be brick in place of stucco. The masonry base was removed for the portion of the fence along the lane only. The fence will maintain the masonry base where it fronts Jefferson Street. So just a little project history. It was initially approved with conditions at the June 28th, 2023 HPC meeting where the HPC approved with conditions which have been addressed. So the first condition was redesign the square third story windows to meet the standard of being taller than they are wide. So as a part of the total window redesign, that square window at the rear elevation was removed. So just for a refresher, here is where that was to now. The second condition was to provide information showing that the window muntins will be 7/8 inches, 7/8 of an inch or less. So the windows will have that, which is shown on the revised submittal packet. Wait. Gotta zoom in. Right here it's noted. It's single 7/8 wood, single divided light muntins. Three was select a door type with an approved material. So all exterior doors will be storefront doors. of lighting, and then provide product specifications for the exterior lighting. A lighting cut sheet has been included in this updated submission. And staff found that these were visually compatible with the project and the surrounding area. The next one was to provide information about the private sidewalk connecting to the public sidewalk, including the material. The brick sidewalk will continue around the side of the building and connect to the parking lot and rear building entrance. And we can see that on the site plan. The sixth condition was to lower the height of the stucco columns of the parking lot wall from 8'3" to just 8" to meet the ordinance. The fence columns have been lowered to 8 feet as shown on these drawings. And just to kind of, aside from that, staff did find the revised project is visually compatible and meets the standards with the exception of including storefront bases, which is the only approval condition. So we just take a look back at the elevations. So with that, staff recommends approval to the amendment to the previously approved new construction small parts 1 and 2 project for a 3-story mixed-use building on an empty lot at 1508 Montgomery Street with the following condition for staff review and approval prior to starting this project because the proposed changes are otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards, which is to incorporate the storefront bases in order to meet the standard. Thank you, and I'll be happy to take any questions.
Kirsten Connor. That this doesn't necessarily involve anything with the application, but I was curious if you knew why the Elks Lodge was previously demolished in 2018. I was just curious.
When I did the research for the original one back in June, I saw the older thing, but I honestly wasn't able to see why that was.
Okay, I was just curious. Thank you.
Katrina Hornung, I'm trying to pull up a Google Street View, but I can't seem to. Is there sidewalk around all other three? Sorry, is there a sidewalk on the perimeter of that block aside from on 31st Lane or just on the Montgomery Street side?
Let me see if I can see because I'm honestly not sure. I would think on Montgomery there must be something.
No.
All right, so I guess that's what exists.
Okay, thank you.
Kathy Levine, I've got a question. How is the parking, why is the parking lot treated as fences and walls versus a parking lot over 30 feet in length?
And that was what was approved in the previous submittal, so it was just kind of a holdover from that as to why then it was. I can take a look real quick and see what.
I mean, it's most certainly a parking lot.
I don't think there was, I think it's something that was even approved before that because it was part of another project. The applicant can confirm this. I think there was something with another project where there was like overflow parking, which is part of this.
The low across at the street, the low apartments.
Yes.
The half and half deal.
It no longer qualifies as a
No, I'm just looking in the original one with the parking lots over 30 feet in length.
I mean, the standard for that, I mean, if they're...
This is a wall, correct? Am I not reading it right?
Well, we would still review it under the fencing and wall standards, but I'm just trying to see if there's too many files open. All right. If you're just asking if they're also adding the shrubbery to it. Then we can look at that.
I think the purpose, I don't know. Staff can answer the question, but I believe the purpose of a 36-inch high wall is not to have that blank wall sitting right next to you while you're walking down the street. So you actually have some perspective. You can see, people can see you. You can see people. The 3'6" wall is, I believe, supposed to shield the cars, not the people. Whereas this provides essentially a barricade between the person walking along the sidewalk and that parking lot. I believe, but staff can correct me or further define the reason for the standard of parking lots versus a wall, a fences and wall. I mean, that's a huge wall. That's a, how many it's length? How many length?
I mean, it's a fence panel. It's not necessarily like a wall. Per se, it's
an 8-foot wall.
It's fencing. That's not blocking any view. It's
brick
just
post with aluminum picket fence is what's proposed, right?
Correct.
But it's a parking lot. The use is parking lot. It's not a courtyard. It's not a private residence. It's a parking lot. That's what I'm asking.
It abuts a lane, right? So there's no sidewalk on the lane. Because the entrance is going to be from the lane, and then you've got a fence along
does
the Jefferson Street.
It butts a lane?
Yeah. The sidewalk is on the lane. So the front,
The
Montgomery Street is the front facade.
Correct.
And the parking lot, which is large considering the size of the project, runs the length from behind the building.
So that's it's not on the corner.
No, it's on the corner of Montgomery and 31st Lane, and then it runs down to Jefferson Street. So there will be a fence on Jefferson Street of the parking lot. But that will be the back of the houses that are on 31st Street. So it will look like it will actually look like it belongs to 31st Street.
I guess I consider, I mean,
the lane
in a parking lot, and I'm just looking at the standards of a parking lot versus a courtyard. It does,
although
regardless of lane or street.
What's more offensive, walking down 30 foot down Jefferson, an open parking lot all the way up a lane?
It's not an open parking lot. You have 3'6" wall.
Even that, it's actually given about a visual barrier that is probably more aesthetically appealing.
Opinion.
Right. I mean, it was approved in June.
Okay.
With this. So this was just amending. We just said bring the height down, and that's the only thing that's changed from the already approved.
I guess I was just asking for clarification.
All right. Is there any further board discussion? Any questions for the petitioner? No, is the petitioner available to speak? Yeah, sorry. I got lost in the milieu there for a moment.
Hello, my name is Muriel Hamer. I'm with Lynch Associates Architects. Thank you for reviewing our petition today. I would like to counter the staff's recommendation for the base. First, I would like to note that the previous submission had the previously approved submission had storefront glazing extending to the floor. And second, I would like to note that the streetcar district ordinance does not specifically note bases required at non-contributing buildings. They only specify the types of materials where bases occur. Third, we are trying to give the building a more seamless, modern look, and we feel that a storefront base would impede with that.
Anybody have any comment or questions for the petitioner? Hearing none. Is there any public comment? May? Okay. Then I'm going to open up board discussion, starting with Virginia.
No comment at this time.
May Boley, I'm looking at the standard and I'm wondering the same thing. It does say storefront bases shall consist of, but it doesn't say storefront bases are required and these are the approved materials, right? So it's an interesting question. Is it required to have one based on the wording of the?
That's a good point.
Storefront bases. It just recommends the materials in the case of a storefront base.
Well, then.
I guess you could interpret it either way.
Yeah, maybe that's just another way that it can be interpreted.
I don't have a strong connection one way or the other, but since the client has been through a lot on this project, we've been seeing it for months, I'd be inclined to take that condition off simply because of the ambiguity of the code. But I do applaud your fastidiousness in finding these little things in these massive applications and trying to catch them for everybody. So thank you.
This is Pam Everett. Remember that where it says shall, that means it's mandatory. If it says may, that's different.
Was that Pam?
Yeah. Yes, that was me.
You're saying because it says storefront bases shall, then storefront bases have to be on the building.
If it says shall.
Or is it just like if they're going to be there, they have to be made of this material?
They have to comply with the standard.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Pam. I just didn't quite catch your clarification. So in your interpretation, item little double II there, storefront bases shall, does that indicate that they... Yes, that they have to be built of those things. Does it indicate that they have to be on the building? Like they have to be included?
No, it's saying that if they are there, then they.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you, Pam. Yeah. If you look at, it's under materials. So
Right. That's
what it's talking about there. It's not talking about the design of the storefront.
All right, good. Anybody else have a question for the petitioner, or are we going to go into general discussion now?
I think we are in discussion.
Okay.
Katrina Hornung, no comment.
Pam Miller, I think we remove the condition, and then there's no shall.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with that.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Kathy Labina, I wasn't here in June. So I am going to state my concern about 64 foot, 1 inch of solid 8 foot wall along Montgomery Street. I'm going to concede on the 31st Street lane, but on Montgomery Street, you've got 64 foot, 1 inch of solid wall walking down Montgomery Street. I do not think that's visually compatible. The standard states that parking lots shall not, I don't know if it's shall. Parking lots must meet the standard of the 336 knee wall. That's what the standard states. And with 64 feet of parking lot on Montgomery Street, I believe that we need to abide by the ordinance and request a 3'6" knee wall.
It's a fence. It's a picket fence.
It's not a picket
fence. None of the
fence.
Parking lot runs along Montgomery Street.
It runs along 31st Lane.
And Jefferson.
Jefferson. Jefferson. I apologize.
But it's picket. Picket fence.
It's also, yeah, picket fence, a transparent barrier that you can see through.
Aluminum picket fence.
I'm going to state, the ordinance states that you have to have a 3'6" high wall placed parallel to the building facade along the parking to screen vehicles.
But there is no building facade at that point.
This is one on property.
If I may, I'm sorry, jumping in. I also wondered the way that this is worded, is that 36 inches only or is that 36 inches minimum?
Right. So I believe you could interpret that as a minimum. This is part of, I know you're tired of me hearing me say this, but are going through these ordinances, because when we've been going through them and we've been meeting with a lot of architects, and whenever we meet with an architect, we say, are there any ordinances that you guys have, you know, been bugging you for the last 20 years? And they say, oh yeah, there are many of them that the way they're written, they're not really clear. And so we're trying, we appreciate your patience with us, but we're trying to go through them one by one to see where we can provide clarification.
And I can see where, Kathy, you're coming from, because then in the same line, it says shrubs that are anticipated to grow to a height of less than 36 inches should be planted between the wall and the adjacent sidewalk.
Correct. So
that's where that interpretation comes in. But the 36-inch high wall is just a flat. That's a, you know, it's like, is that the minimum or is it the maximum? It doesn't really say. It says that you have to have at least 36 inches.
It is
along parallel to the building facade.
I interpret it for a safety reason.
Right. So I interpret it as well, the 36 inches parallel to protect the pedestrian from the car, and that 3 feet does that. However, this is where the language is coming into question, is because the plants can only be 36 inches.
Kirsten Connor, I have a quick question to clarify. What is the length of that fence line on Jefferson Street?
64 foot, 1 inch.
No, the length of how long it runs.
64 foot, 1 inch.
Okay.
64 feet.
So it's enough for two cars and for them to be able to make their turns in and out.
Okay.
Pat Richardson. Can we go back to where the language was about the 36 inches in the shrubs? So when I read it, I interpreted it to say that the wall is 36 inches high, but the shrubs have to be less than 36 inches
right.
high.
But you don't have to put shrubs in. And the point being, you know, this is a security thing for property owners as far as their cars are concerned. If it's 3 feet, people can jump over and access those vehicles, which it is going to be a dark lane. There's certain amounts of personal property rights that call into place as well. So somebody have to scale a 6-foot fence to get into a parking lot to break and enter into a vehicle is more of a barrier and protecting people's personal property. A 3-foot fence at the far end where it's maybe not as well lit, that's where people's concerns are going to be. And also people hiding behind vehicles as they're approaching their vehicles at night, women on their own, et cetera, you know, on their own for that matter, getting mugged. You know, there are some security and personal safety issues that people are less likely if they're given the opportunity to jump over a 6-foot fence to access a parking lot than a 3-foot fence or a 3-foot wall. I can step over that and then escape quickly as well if I need to.
But you can turn that around. People are going to walk into that parking lot because it's not gated, and somebody's going to be a victim because you can't see that person over an 8-foot wall.
They'll have a.
It's not a wall.
They'll have an electric gate.
It's a wall. Whatever.
Jonathan, can I make inject something? A few years ago, the streetcar ordinance was rewritten from its original form. There were a lot of words that wordings such as may and shall that were taken out, added, which totally changed the content of the original ordinance. If you are looking at adjusting, I would suggest that you go back to the original and look at where it went versus what you're seeing in front of you. And I can't promise, but I may still have a copy of the original if I wasn't so mad after they made the changes.
Okay. Well, thank you, Virginia. Thank you. We appreciate all the help we can get.
Okay. Any other further comment from the board? Second time around.
No comment. May Boley, I think I'd be more open, Kathy, to trying to address the thing if it was a wall, but I agree that because it's a fence and you can see through it, and also it seems really odd that a wall or a fence around a parking lot could only exactly be 36 inches. It does seem odd for the code to be so specific. They usually will give a range or a minimum or a maximum. So I'd be inclined to just take the one existing condition off and add no further conditions and approve this one.
Katrina Hornung, no comment.
Pam Miller, I agree with me.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with me.
Pat Richardson, I agree with me.
Kathy?
No comment.
Okay, let's entertain a motion.
Okay.
Pam, you're up.
All right, I am up here.
I'm voluntolding you.
I move. Okay, so I've got to. It's the approval submitted. Mm-hmm. Okay. I move that Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Lynch Architects 24001200 COA 1508 Montgomery Street as submitted minus the. As submitted. Okay. Because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
All right, let's get that vote in.
May Boley second.
Virginia Malby approve.
May Boley approve.
Katrina Hornung approve.
Ann Miller approve.
Kirsten Connor approve.
Pat Richardson approve.
Parker and Vina deny.
Okay, motion passes. Finally. Okay, next and final item on the approval agenda today is the petition of Shannon Tyler, 23005180, COA 303 West 36th Street, and it's an amendment, new construction.
Thank you. This is Caitlin Chamberlain again presenting. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction, small parts 1 and 2 for a 2-story accessory dwelling unit at the property located at 303 West 36th Street. This request is an amendment to a previously approved project to originally demolish and reconstruct an existing fire-damaged 1-story accessory structure to be rebuilt on the existing footprint. The property has since been sold and the new owner had a structural analysis of the existing garage done and has found that rather than deconstruct it, it can remain in place. Another difference of this project is adding a second story. So just quick context, the main historic house at 303 West 36th Street was built in 1913 and is a contributing resource within the Thomas Square Street Car National Register Historic District and the local district. According to the contributing resources map, the double garage on the property is non-contributing. It's shown right here, the yellow structure there. Is non-contributing, and this is the building that was evaluated for the project. So as for the earlier version that was approved in October of 2023, this is the project as it was. The existing 1-story 2-car garage had suffered fire damage, and in this case,
the applicant previous owner had requested permission to demolish and rebuild. Similar garage in that footprint. Since there was a new construction aspect to this project, a variance for the existing zero lot line setback was sought to keep the same footprint. The HPC decision was to approve the request to demo and rebuild the accessory structure and approve the variance recommendation. Request to allow for that 0 foot rear yard setback to remain so they could rebuild in the same footprint. The current amendment seeks to keep and restore the existing one story structure and to add a second story to create a 2-story accessory dwelling unit. This, though, I'll just show you. This has some neighborhood context photos still to show. Also showing how this is kind of what remains. There's still concrete block, majority of this intact. But this is the historic house, the main residence. This is what's there. And then just some other views. Here's this vacant lot, which is another project quadplex, was recently approved fronting 37th Street. This is the lane area where there's some of their 2-story accessory structures. And this was just some of the model views. So based on what can be seen today, and what is evident on the Sanborn maps, now, there is precedent for 2-story accessory structures on this block and nearby. The property at 303 West 36th Street initially had a 2-story frame accessory building at the other side of the rear yard through the 1966 map, which was this corner here. And we see that garage, different garage, I guess, because this is instead of frame. What's there is concrete block. So the conditions of the proposed project are as follows. Trying to figure. With regards to, okay, hold on. I'm sorry. I think I had a more updated version of this that is not showing up. So just expand this. All right, so with regards to visual compatibility, staff found that the second story windows on the elevation facing Jefferson Street were not proportionate to the garage doors below. Since this is one of 2 elevations fully visible from a public right-of-way, staff is recommending incorporating a similar window pattern as is seen on the garden view elevation for the most visible elevation on Jefferson Street. To meet the visual compatibility standards, the applicant proposes to cut a new opening into the rear existing wall, which there is mention of. Right here is a new opening, but no product information is shown for a door or gate in this opening, so staff requests the information on the drawings about the door proposed to be cut into that lane-facing wall that exists. The drawings show where the windows and doors are proposed to go, and window detail drawing was included, but staff is requesting product and material specs for the proposed windows and doors. And staff found that the proposed garage doors had a little more of, sorry, way upside down.
we saw it for a second. They had a more of a craftsman look to them than what seemed to be visually compatible with the historic house itself and surrounding resources. So staff was recommending to select garage doors with a more simplified look or to revert to what was originally approved in the original submittal. Just to show that. So then the current drawings show a staircase and landing to access the second story. Here's what I'm talking about. It's right here. They show a staircase and landing to access the second story where the landing extends to a balcony overlooking the Jefferson Street elevation. There's also detail showing how the height of the railings and spacing between balusters meets the standards, but clarification is needed regarding the proposed material. Also, lighting was not represented on the drawings, but the original submittal did have exterior lighting specs. So if it is proposed on the exterior visible parts of the ADU, staff requests submitting this information prior to installation. And staff will note that since the time of the writing of this report, discussions have been ongoing with the applicant, who is already looking into addressing these conditions. And we have some of that. They've provided some of that to share with y'all today when they will share. But with that, staff recommends to approve the amendment requesting approval for new construction small parts 1 and 2 for a two-story accessory dwelling unit at the property located at 303 West 36th Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for review and approval prior to starting the work. Because the proposed project is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. 1, incorporate a similar window pattern as is seen on the garden view elevation for the most visible elevation on Jefferson Street to meet the visual compatibility standards. 2, provide information on the drawings about the door proposed to be cut into the lane facing wall. 3, provide product specifications for the proposed windows and doors. 4, select garage doors with a more simplified look or revert to the type that were originally approved. 5, clarification is needed regarding the proposed balcony material. And 6, if lighting is proposed on the exterior visible parts of the ADU, staff requests submitting this information prior to installation. Thank you.
Questions with staff?
Kirsten Connor, what is supporting the balcony?
I believe this is cantilevered, but I will have the applicant confirm.
Any other questions? No? Is the petitioner present? They'd like to step forward, identify themselves. Hello, could you state your name for the record, please?
Yes, I'm Shannon Taylor. Thank you for working us in. I know we're last on the docket today, and y'all are ready to be done. We understand there are several revisions that we needed to make, and we did make them. Caitlin, do you mind just operating this, since this is not something that I'm used to using?
Yeah.
This will probably go much more smoothly if I'm not handling it. Again, like I said, we're happy to meet all the recommendations. And the only thing that I think I didn't address in my response was the lighting, because all the lighting is in the soffit. There is no visible lighting, as it's a fairly tight space and trying to avoid knocking people's heads with sconces and things of that nature. The lighting is just in the soffit, will be white light and invisible other than that.
Anybody have a question for the petitioner? None? Any public comment?
Last time, almost done. Ellie Isaacs, Historic Savannah Foundation. So the majority of the concerns that our ARC had have been, it looks like they've been addressed in these drawings that were just provided. The only other concern that we had was about the appropriateness, like visual compatibility-wise, of the balcony, of the cantilever balcony on a accessory dwelling unit. And that's all we had.
Okay. Any other public comment? Right, this time we'll enter board discussion. Virginia.
No comment other than I think the balcony adds some character to what we have seen over and over again, the square boxes added to the back of a piece of property.
Mabel Lee, no comment.
Katrina Hornung, no comment.
Ann Miller, no comment.
Thurston.
Kirsten Connor, no comment, but I might have one on our next round.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Kelly.
Kathy Ledvina, the balcony on a carriage house, this balcony in particular, the design of the balcony being 6 foot deep, certainly makes it a very significant detail. And a 6 foot deep balcony you would typically see on the front of a main house, not on a carriage house. Good against the balcony. I think it does add interest to the overall design, and the main house is certainly quite ornate. I just have the second thoughts about the 6 foot. If it was a 3 foot balcony, I think that it would be more visually compatible as a feature on a carriage house next to the main house versus the depth that it entails.
I can see that. All right, second round.
My only comment is 3 feet is decorative. 6 feet is functional.
Mabel Lee, no comment.
Katrina Hornung, no comment.
Pam Miller, no comment.
I'm going to make a comment at this point. So the 3 I think is not enough, and 6 may be too much. But I think there is form and function to be as a sitting porch rather than a 6 foot is like, I can have a party on a 6 foot porch. A 4.5 foot porch is more for sitting and enjoying the space.
Kirsten Connor, thank you, Darren. That's what I had been thinking for my second round. Yeah, I think 3 feet seems too small, but 6 feet seems like it's excessive for the carriage house in it.
Like martinis, 1 is not enough and 3 is too many.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Pat Richardson, I think 4 feet is sufficient.
4 feet.
With that discussion concluding, do we have a motion? Kathy, it's your turn. Come on.
Kathy Ledvina, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of... Shane and Taylor, number MPC file number 23-005180-COA at 303 West 36th Street, with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for review and approval prior to starting the work, because the proposed project is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. Number 1, 2, 6 to include a 7 with a balcony depth of 4 foot. No more than 4 foot and no more than 4 foot.
Mabel Lee, second.
Virginia, I'm going to call for a vote.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Mabley, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Pat LeBron, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you very much. Okay, finally, we're going to approve staff reviews. We're going to acknowledge and approval of staff petitions. List of the staff reviews is attached to the agenda. Are there any questions of the staff regarding approved staff reviews? If there is no discussion, I need a motion to approve and acknowledge the staff approved reviews.
Pam Miller, make a motion that we approve the staff reviews.
Kirsten Connor, second.
Okay. Virginia?
I'm sorry.
You approve the staff reviews?
Probably approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kathy Ledvina, approve.
Fantastic. We have no notices, proclamations, and acknowledgements. We need to acknowledge that 24 March stamp drawings report and inspections completed by staff. I've just acknowledged that. So any other business? I know we set up the subcommittee to meet next month, and we have nominated a committee. And then I guess we're going to adjourn this meeting. I need a motion to adjourn.
Moved.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you all very much. I'll see you all next month. The next meeting will be at April 24th, 2 p.m. Pre-meeting April 24th at 1:30. Thank you all very much.